Watch out! God is holy, and he hates sin.
This is Ergeron. Welcome to program 33 in the book of Colossians. The next five programs are dedicated to two important verses from chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. This series is produced by Global Radio Ministries and is written by Dr. James M. Ceci.
Dr. Ceci is explaining the simple method for presenting every man complete in Christ. First, as explained last time, we proclaim Christ. Second, we admonish others. And third, we teach anyone who will listen.
Verse 28 of Colossians 1. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. In the Greek, the word admonish is nouthateo, which means bring to the forefront of the mind or to warn. 1 Corinthians 4:14 says, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children.
And now, with the second part of Shepherding the Family, is Pastor Ceci.
Go back to chapter 1, verse 28, and observe with me the second step of the Apostle Paul's simple method for building a healthy family, a healthy local church, and a healthy global church. Step 1 was we proclaim him, but notice that step 2, we admonish others. You see it there in verse 28? We proclaim him, admonishing every man. And the word that he uses there for admonish is the word nuthateo. And maybe you've not heard that word before, but some of you that like biblical counseling have often heard the word nuthetics. It means to bring something to the forefront of the mind, and often gets translated as warn. Warn. You all know warning signs. You drive down the road, our lives are filled with warning signs. I even brought one with me here, if I can find it. I had one with me. I warn you not to lose the warning sign. It was there. There it is. Y'all know what these are. Felt like a magician there. Okay. Y'all know what this is. You see them all over. And when you see this, you make a choice. I can cross it or I can obey it. Warnings don't stop you. They just warn you. Well, that's exactly what the word nuthateo means. To caution people. We don't like to do that, do we? The Apostle Paul is saying that besides being voices that proclaim Christ, we're to be warning signs, caution tape in our home, our church, in our community. To admonish, to warn people, bring to the front of their mind the danger of neglecting the things of God. To say, watch out! God is holy. And he hates sin. To warn our family, to warn our fellow believers, to warn people globally about things that are not of God, about the dangers of sin, about following the wisdom of this world. It's time to put a caution tape around our televisions and our laptops and our children's iPad or whatever tablet they own. Wrap it around their cell phones. Wrap it around the automobile and wrap it around their friends. Especially if you have daughters. Wrap it around that young guy's neck. God's people said.
Amen.
Listen to some instructions from the Word of God. Because we also have to wrap it around this pulpit and this church. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. The word unruly means those that are out of step. You've heard this before. When they're supposed to be going left, right, left, right, and they're going right, left, right, left. They're out of sync. Parents, pastors, effective people who warn those who are out of step, who are marching to the beat of a different drum. Parents, pastors, and effective people who are warning those who walk up to the edge of sin and either through ignorance don't know there's danger ahead or through rebellion decide, I don't care, I'm going to take the risk. You say, watch out. You may not be able to stop them from crossing the line, but make sure that those in your family, those in the church, and those in the world know that you're saying, watch out. And there are too many silent believers. And yet, Colossians 3:16, Paul said this later on in that same epistle we're studying, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and doing what? Admonishing one another. Just as proclaiming Christ to an unbelieving world is not easy, so admonishing our fellow believers isn't easy either. What parent hasn't faced the agony of watching their children make bad choices? Even when they were sufficiently warned, those bad choices resulted in major consequences, and you stood back and you said, I warned them, and then you watch that they reap what they sow, as the scriptures say, and at agony, you agonize. You know it. But let it be said that you really could say, I told you so. That's not a bad thing to hear. I told you so. In fact, let me say to you, I think that's an applause. I told you so. What shepherd hasn't grieved over the disobedience of his sheep, even when he's preached about the wages of sin? But too many shepherds, too many parents have given up. Who said, they don't listen to me. Why keep saying it? What else can I do? I have no control over them. But listen to the Apostle Paul's words straight from his heart. Acts chapter 20, verse 31, where Paul speaks of the difficult ministry he had in Ephesus. Remember those disobedient believers there? And he writes this in Acts 20, verse 31, night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. 3 years. He tearfully warned these wayward believers. Some of you have been warning your wayward believers in the midst of your family or your church or your community for decades. But in the ancient words of the Apostle Paul, in the more modern words of Winston Churchill, let me say it, never, never, never give up. You say, I can't. I'm not a confrontive person. Yes, you are. Because you were called to be. And God commanded you and God enabled you. Paul said this in Romans 15, 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are able to admonish one another. God empowers us. We're going to talk more about that next time. But listen to me. As a father, as a pastor, as a missionary, I get weary of warning. A visitor to our church recently asked another church member, doesn't Pastor Jim ever smile? That kind of hurt. Because I love smiling. I love laughing. But how do you laugh? When's the last time when the doctor told you you have cancer, he laughed? When's the last time a doctor said to you, I think your family member's dying? And when you make bad choices, and a counselor has to walk you through, what's funny about it? Oh, there are lots of things to laugh at. I love laughing. But it's hard sometimes, and I admit that. But like the prophets of old, I feel this prophetic call to admonish and warn, because not enough are doing that. Give me something to laugh about when I see marriages falling apart. I see people who are just destroyed by bad choices. I see unsaved family members headed for a Christless eternity. Well, what's to laugh at? I don't want to. I don't mind joy. You can have joy in the midst of that. But listen to King Solomon's words in Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And what is he saying? Is that wounding people is a way to love them? That doesn't make sense. Well, yes, it does. I think I've told you the story before. When my oldest daughter, Kimberly, was about 3 or 4 years old, we had to rush her to emergency. And they had to give her a shot. And she said, "Daddy, Daddy, don't let them hurt me." And I said, "Honey, they have to hurt you to help you." And I cried with her. I don't like it. With tears, Paul admonished. But faithful are the wounds, and the Hebrew word is a loving friend. And deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. People who fake their friendship, who won't confront you, who won't warn you, because they want to be liked by you. And they want to always have fun with you, but they never want to do the difficult thing with you. They don't love you. Every parent, every pastor, every sincere believer knows this to be true. We proclaim Him. We admonish, we warn those around us who would not choose to follow what Christ says. We'll go back to chapter 1. And notice step 3 very quickly. Paul's simple method for helping the members of our family, the members of the local church, members of the body of Christ who grow to maturity. Step 1 was we proclaim Him. Step 2, we admonish others. Step 3, we teach anyone who will listen. You see it there in verse 28? And teaching every man with all wisdom. And the word teach is the common word didasko. It means to instruct. Here's the sad part. It's so simple, but it's being ignored. Though they would rarely admit it, churches are not interested in teaching. And the same goes for many parents. Too many Christian pastors, too many Christian parents who prefer to teach what I call sermonettes for Christianettes. Doctrine light, kind of like that beer commercial. Tastes great, less filling. Too many so-called Christian families who are ignoring the Word of God or water it down because their kids, they say, don't get it. Or God forbid, they'd be bored. That would be a real sin. And thus they do what churches do, what I call church light. You know, 8 commandments, you pick them. Hey, we don't talk about sin. That's just a bad self-image. We want you all to be happy. Nobody loses in our church. No matter what it takes, we'll make you happy. Do anything you want to do. You want to live with your girlfriend? Hey, listen, God wants you to be happy. We'll sort it out in the end. And God forbid that you would come to a place that feels like church. What does that mean? You see signs around. Come to the church that doesn't feel like church. I don't know what that means. Somebody explain that to me. I kind of want this to feel like church, because I'd hate to have this feel like, you know, Grizzly Stadium. I think the church services have become a weekly stage production with lots of hype and no substantive biblical content. And thus, in the church, just as in the home, listen, entertainment has replaced admonition. And so it's got a new name, worshiptainment. But it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, "But in vain, in emptiness, in hollowness, they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." That's why Paul warned that in latter days, that's going to happen even more and more. Listen to what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Take just the heart, beloved. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus." Listen, when he says that in advance, you better listen. "Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you," everybody say, "but you." What's it saying? "I don't want you to do this. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." We're seeing it lived out today, and not just from people who don't know better. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say in my own circle, "Listen, we don't want so much theology. We want practical stuff." Isn't theology practical? I've been getting some reviews on my book on purity. Here's some of the reviews. "It's too theological. It's too big. It's too much reading." I'm not joking. I'm okay with that. Anytime you do anything, you're going to get criticism, and that's fine. But if I tell you who those came from, you would be aghast. My point of it is, that's the spirit of it. We don't want to do a Bible study on moral purity. Just tell us what we shouldn't think about and what we shouldn't watch. It's the spirit of the age. Now, I say that to you to say this. It doesn't mean that we have the right to be boring, because theology is so exciting. But what could be more relevant than a deeper understanding of who God is and what He said about matters of life and faith and practice? Do you really want me to stand here and pontificate my opinions? Instead of thus say the Lord? And if what I'm telling you is not from the Lord, you have every responsibility to go check me out as good Berean Christians. Because I'm nobody's guru. There's a little heresy in this heart. I don't want there to be. But don't think for a minute that I don't teach some error. It's your job to discern. And not to follow any guru. Not to follow any teacher as if somehow they're infallible. But let me also hasten to say that teaching the whole counsel of God, it's not just my role as a local church shepherd, it's my role as a husband. It's my role as a father and a grandfather, and it's your role as well. Don't miss the fundamentals of verse 28. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. All of us are called to teach all of us. And that's why the Bible warns how dangerous it is to be untaught in the home, untaught in the church, and to believers around the world to be untaught. What drives me to Eastern Europe? They're untaught. What drives me to Asia? Because they're untaught. What drives me to these places? What drives our missionaries to these places? It's not a vacation. Ephesians 4:14, as a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And we have no control over other churches or other ministries, but let it not happen in my home, let it not happen in my local church, let it not happen in my global ministry, and so forth, and the same for you. We choose to take to heart the Apostle Paul's clear instructions to all who would choose to shepherd people. Titus 2:1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. That means healthy doctrine. Sometimes you feed your kids broccoli when they hate broccoli. Because it's healthy. Oh, go to grandma's, get your ice cream. That's what grandmas are for. You parents better feed them the veggies and the meat and the things they don't like. Right? Because life is not dessert. You can go ahead and eat dessert first, but eventually you've got to get to the steak. But as for you, shepherds, Titus 2:7, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds. How? Watch this. With purity and doctrine. You want to be an example to your children? With purity and doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:6, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you've been following. You're not nourished on stories. And then we move from Paul's words to Acts 28:31, where it speaks of those who were teaching concerning the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all openness, unhindered. I love that word, unhindered. What a great word it is. A key element to building a successful home and a successful local church and even a successful global ministry. I thank God that I married a woman of the Word who encourages me and makes it possible for me to study the Word, because I get out of bed and I'm ready to go. You know, I'll tell you, the moment I wake up, you can just imagine me. I'm ready to conquer the world. But you know what? I walk by my wife and she's having a cup of coffee and she's in the Word. What do you think that does? I'll sit down, I'll get in the Word with her, and you know what? That's some of my favorite times, is sitting quietly in the mornings, reading our Bibles, one of the highlights of my life for these 40 years. I thank God for a local church where I can preach doctrine unhindered. Do you know how freeing that is? Do you know how blessed I am? to be able to teach verse by verse, 21 messages in Judges, 16 messages in Titus, 46 messages in 1 Peter, 40 messages in James, 130 messages in the Gospel of John, 23 messages in 1 Thessalonians, 41 messages in Galatians. We're coming into our 17th verse in chapter 1 of Colossians. What freedom I have. But notice verse 28 that says, every man. Three times in the text. He isn't stuttering. He's saying that it's not exclusive. We're to teach anyone who will listen. Believers and teachable unbelievers and children and adults and able-bodied and disabled people. Single and married people, mature and immature people, rich and poor, people in our community and around the world. And that's why, while we're relaxing and vacationing, I'm strategizing for the fall on how to even do more things in teaching here at campus. That's why I encourage us to engage in biblical hospitality. Why? So we open up our homes, not just to family and friends, but to strangers. And why we're going to work more and more in being global, doing things like the internet and so forth. We're committed to warn and instruct every man who will listen. And frankly, we're having more and more people listen. And then you see that word with or that phrase with all wisdom very quickly. Both commands, admonish and teach with all wisdom. God forbid that we would admonish and teach without a full measure of God's wisdom. Without a clear understanding of the specific applications of God's truth in our everyday lives. Can I want to tell you what we're not to be doing? We're not to be spouting off doctrine and Hebrew nouns and Greek verbs. That's not what we do. We need God's wisdom to use effective methods of communication without compromising the truth of the message. And Paul's going to address that later on in chapter 4. Let me just get to it really quickly. Listen to what he says in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. He says that God will open up to us the door for the word. Why? So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which also I have been imprisoned. Why? That I may make it clear the way I ought to speak. He doesn't want to be confounding. He doesn't want to confuse people with fancy religious platitudes or esoteric philosophical nuances. Kind of prove to the world how smart he is. We want to present the Word of God as clearly as humanly possible. That's why he'll write in chapter 4, verse 5, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. And that's what we need to do as parents. That's what we need to do as pastors. That's what we need to do as people that are reaching out to the world. We need God's wisdom to clearly understand and effectively communicate the Word of God in the language that our family understands. You may have to learn how to text, folks. You may have to learn how to blog and tweet and many other means to get to them. Because maybe you've got the kind of kid that can be sitting in a living room and they'd rather tweet you than talk to you. I don't know. You just got to learn how to communicate in a language that they speak. In a way that our local church will comprehend. In a way that the world will grasp. And that's why we're adjusting. That's why I'm learning how to do webinars. I have two webinars scheduled, one in August, and we have 12 to 15 countries involved in that webinar. I get to sit in my church office and speak to 12 to a dozen countries and leaders from all over those 12 countries, and then I'm going to do it again in October. I've never done a webinar before. I need guys like Pastor Mike Bogard, who's an expert in that kind of stuff, who does it all the time. I need to learn new methods. I'm just used to getting on an airplane and going, you know, and traveling for 24 hours and exhausting myself and then coming home exhausted. And I get to sit and have a Diet Coke in my office, air conditioned, and talk to the world. What a world we live in. That's not easy. Well, we need to learn new methods to proclaim the gospel. Well, folks, the clock is done and my time is up. But Paul's not done. We only got to verse 28. But I got to tell you something. It is so exciting what he does with this. It really, really is. Because for some of you that love goals, he lays it out. The goal, the supreme goal of presenting every man mature in Christ, followed by the power that you need to accomplish what God calls you to do. I hope you'll join us for that. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that we would just take the simplicity of this message and go out and take some time to proclaim Christ, admonish others, and teach anyone who will listen. With that same spirit that Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I think we could also say, as for us and our local church, we also want to serve the Lord. So we lay ourselves afresh before you. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for this special day of reminder. Thank you for the Word of God in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.
You've been so faithful for all my years. With the one breath you make me. Your grace covers all I do. Prepares your will for me.